Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. We're about to start talking about gratitude and ingratitude in light of theology. But before we do that, let me just remind you to give us a rating and review. If you don't mind sharing this episode with somebody that you think this could be a blessing to, that really helps other people find the program. And we are so grateful for your help in this endeavor to pass along sound theology and how it applies to our lives. Today, we want to talk about gratitude, and it seems important. Maybe it seems obvious that we should be thankful. In the United States and other countries like Mexico and Brazil, we have a day set aside for Thanksgiving. And everybody kind of knows, oh yeah, that's a great thing to do. Of course, there's a lot of traditions in America wrapped around it, the big parade in New York City, and getting together with family and friends, having a meal with turkey and other maybe your favorite foods that go along with that. Sometimes we express gratitude. I know at our church, right before Thanksgiving, we have a Thanksgiving service on the night before, and we actually pass the microphone around and share things that we're thankful for, and that's always been a favorite service at Faith Bible Church for so many years. We usually have a time of communion as well. It's very sweet. But I think even non-Christians in our society kind of get it, but it's really kind of inconsistent, isn't it? Because they don't really acknowledge who they're supposed to be grateful for. It's almost like be grateful for its own sake and maybe be grateful to people who have done nice things to you instead of grateful to the Lord, which of course was the whole purpose of the origination of Thanksgiving Day. I think there's even productivity gurus today that are advising their clients to begin gratitude journals and write down at the end of the day things that you're thankful for. Now, I do think that being thankful in general does have a positive effect, many positive effects. It counteracts our selfishness. It cultivates humility. It fills you with joy because you're grateful for things, recognizing that you don't deserve everything in your life. And the Lord really is the ultimate source of the good in our lives. And it puts us in a right framework. Well, there are clear verses throughout the scriptures. I'm thinking specifically of the Psalms, which call us and command us to praise the Lord with thanksgiving. Listen to Psalm 105, verses 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of his wondrous works. And Psalm 100 very famously says, right in the middle of it, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. So absolutely, should we be grateful people? Definitely, we should be the most grateful people of all the people. And when you think of that, in spite of the fact that
again, the United States and certain Western countries have kind of the Thanksgiving leftovers, if you will. In other words, a cultural knowledge that it's good to be grateful, it still seems unnatural in this fallen world. Don't you know that sometimes parents have a difficult time getting their kids to just say thank you, whether it be to them, to mommy and daddy for helping or for providing something. But then when others do something nice or give them a nice gift at Christmas or their birthday, well, say thankful. Say you're thankful. Tell them thank you. And sometimes kids don't want to do that. Why not? Because deep in our fallen hearts, we don't want to express gratitude. We are ungrateful, I guess I should say. We think we deserve everything in our lives, and we don't owe anybody any gratitude. Turns out that the Bible says a lot about the big sin of ingratitude. Think about Romans 1. Romans 1 is in the section of Romans where Paul is showing the universal condemnation of all people. And he's showing that even people who maybe don't have the gospel are still guilty before God, because God has, in his general revelation, declared himself by creation and conscience. And yet, how do people around the world, even who've never heard the name of Jesus, how do they respond to God's good revelation? Well, in Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 18, Paul says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." Listen to this, verse 21 of Romans 1. "For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles." Now, I just want you to see that ingratitude shows up in the middle of this massive theological section about the fallenness of the world that doesn't even know the Lord, doesn't even know the gospel. They should know the Lord because he's revealed himself generally enough that they should respond and they should seek him and find him. But instead, they substitute their better ideas about what they should be worshiping. Instead of God, they worship idols. And of course, Romans 1 goes on to say that therefore God turns them over to their sin. So very bad. But right in the middle of it, he says that instead of honoring God or giving thanks to him, they become futile in their thinking and foolish hearts being darkened. So honoring God and being thankful to God, even for his goodness in creation, is very important. This shows us, I mean, theologically, God is the creator of everything. We are the creatures. Everything comes from God. We don't deserve anything. We don't deserve food and water. It's not like, okay, you're on the earth now, so you've got rights. You deserve them all. No, God made us out of the dust. And every good thing that we enjoy is a gift from God. And even unbelieving, rebellious creatures enjoy so much of God's kindness. Theologians call this common grace. unbelievers get rain. They don't just have droughts over their farms. They get rain as well. And God gives good things to unbelievers so that we would seek him and find him. But God expects gratitude. He deserves gratitude. Isn't it amazing? I mean, he wants you to be thankful. Just like parents are appreciative when their kids express gratitude, maybe telling mom, thank you for dinner and good job and all of those things. That means a lot to your parents. And in the same way, God reveals that it means a lot to him when his creatures express gratitude. And here's what we're going to say. God judges those who don't show gratitude. That's a very big deal. Now, we have to take a break and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about gratitude in a little more holistic, theological way, because this proves to be an important thing. So we're appreciative of you listening to Integrated, and appreciative when you share it with your friends as well. So mark this down that sometime soon you need to go and give us a review and pass this episode on to a friend that it could be a blessing to. We'll be back after the break.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. John Krotz in just a moment. I think he just exposed probably the most American thing ever. We see these productivity gurus selling gratitude journals all over the place, but they never talk about who we should be grateful to. It's thankfulness without an object. And you know what's ironic? We live in the most prosperous nation in history, yet charitable giving is at historic lows. Churches are closing at record rates and ministries are folding every week. And it's not from persecution, but it's rather from ingratitude. And that's why I want to mention first, our gospel partners here at Fortis Institute, those are people, men and women, just like you, and you might very well be one of them, that we are so extremely grateful for. And so this is where I ask you right now, if you're not a gospel partner and our ministry has ever helped you, we want you to consider what it would look like in your life to join us as a gospel partner. We want you to be giving to your local church first and foremost, because that is your first giving priority. And if all of those things are things that are in order for you, we want you to then go to fortisinstitute.org and start looking at how to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. We talked about the gratitude journals, and Americans are spending like $40 billion a year on these journals and meditation apps and mindfulness retreats. They're trying to manufacture gratitude, but they reject the source of all good gifts. Every parent knows the frustration of ungrateful children. The kid that gets everything but says thanks for nothing, that's our entire culture's relationship with God. Taking rain, taking breath, taking life itself while acting like we earned all of it. Look around, that's exactly what we're seeing, isn't it? And that's why Fortis Plus exists. Because gratitude needs cultivation. Fortis Plus is full of hundreds of hours of audio and video content right now available for you to freely consume. And we're adding to it every single day. And remember, I said free because it is free. It's absolutely free of charge because of gospel partners who link arms with us because they believe in what it is that we're doing here at Fortis Institute. Fortis Plus is available again for you to freely download right now, where you download your mobile apps on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or you can just simply go to fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. John Krotz as he continues to talk about gratitude, the type of gratitude that transforms. It moves you from emotion to action. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now, back to your host, Dr. John Krotz.
Welcome back. Today we're talking about gratitude, being thankful, and how theology impacts our gratitude and fuels our gratitude. One of the things we've learned is ingratitude, not being thankful, is a very big deal to God. God has been so kind, even to unbelievers, and yet he says they don't give him thanks. They don't return thanks to him. Listen to this. In 2 Timothy 3, there's a list of sins. I mean, this is one of those big, bad lists, right? And I just want to show you that being ungrateful shows up in this list. So listen to the things that it's surrounded by. Paul says, but understand this, that in the last times, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. That's another surprising one that shows up in the list, right? The next one, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people, Paul tells Timothy. Well, for our purposes today, I just want to show you that's a list of big, bad sins, and being ungrateful is right in the midst of that list. There was a story in Jesus's life and ministry when he was on the way to Jerusalem, and he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. I'm in Luke chapter 17, verse 11. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. And as they went, they were cleansed, yes. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Now, that's a sweet story, a story that we like for a lot of reasons. But I'm suspicious it can become a little bit familiar, especially if you've grown up in church and you've grown up in a Sunday school where you've heard this. And maybe you have a Christian family where this is one of the stories that your parents read to you even before you could read. But it's important for us to pause and consider a couple of theological lessons. Well, first, just practically, the historical situation was leprosy was incurable in the ancient world. It was like they had a disease that there was no hope of any chance of healing. And it wasn't just an incurable disease. It was a disease that affected them sociologically. They were outcasts. They had to stay separate from the rest of society. They couldn't be with their regular family and friends anymore. Their only companions were fellow lepers, dead men walking. And how awful that was, especially when your community was Israel, the people of God. You're kind of like, it would be like, if you got an incurable disease to where you could never come to church again, right? You've got to just stand outside of the church and watch the people going in and coming out, and you can't even get anywhere close to them. You can't sing the songs with God's people. You can't hear the word of God anymore. You are out, right? And it's not like you can go get some treatments and you'll be better in a few weeks. No, you're out forever. Well, they cry out to Jesus. Jesus heals all 10 of them. And he says, go show yourselves to the priest. And while they were going, they were cleansed. But this one guy turns, he's glorifying God, he's praising God, and he's thanking Jesus, which, you know, the praise and the glory and the thanks all blur together. Sometimes people say, oh, we should give thanks to God for the good things that he does to us, and we should praise God for who he is. Well, that sounds really nice until you read the Psalms, where you see the psalmist thanking God for who he is and praising God for the good things God has done. Really, it's two sides of the same coin. These things blur together. But for our purposes today, we just see, wow, Jesus does this great thing, and he wants him to come back. he appreciates the fact that this man praised God and gave glory to God and was grateful for this mighty miracle that Jesus performed. And how much more that it was a Samaritan that was the one who came and gave thanks. I think that was part of Jesus's point there too, that Israel was just missing out on the ministry of the Lord Jesus. Well, may it be that we don't miss out on God's great blessings in our lives. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, from with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Jesus has been so kind to us. The Lord has blessed us in so many ways. We ought to be grateful. We ought to acknowledge that He is the source and say it often. I love these three verses in Colossians chapter 3. Now, these three verses in a row are really great, and they have a lot of great truths in them. But I just want to point out the fact that in this section of Colossians, which is kind of in the practical Christian living section, you know, Paul often starts with a little theology lesson at the beginning of the letter, and then what do you do about it as the letter goes on? So we're in the what do you do about it? And I just want to point out the fact that in these three verses, there are three references to gratitude. This should be just a normal, important part of your life. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And then verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Really, this verse is enough, isn't it? Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Of course, we know there's verses that say, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So, wow, we're loaded. There's lots of verses. There's lots of reasons that we should be so grateful. But they're theological reasons. There's theological reasons why we don't. Total depravity, selfishness, our whole self is turned in on itself, and we don't want to say, God, you've been so good to me and I didn't deserve it. You don't want to be thankful, but oh, how we need to be thankful. Here's an interesting question. Are there sacrifices in the New Testament? Should Christians participate in sacrifices? That's kind of a trick question, because we know that the animal sacrifices of the Old Covenant were fulfilled in the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. But the New Testament does have a couple of references to New Testament sacrifices. I love this in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. So yes, here's your sacrifice. Friend, give thanks to God. Yeah, may it cost you a little bit, cost you a little bit of pride, you know. Humble yourself before the Lord and say, oh God, you are so good. I give you thanks for fill in the blank. You're not going to go wrong. Boy, isn't it hard to be upset? It's hard to be grumpy and grateful at the same time. Not that we're trying to be. But it's gratitude is so good. And gratitude for Christians is the best, because we know to whom we are offering thanks, not just in a generic way, not just thankful for thankful's sake, but we are thankful to our Heavenly Father who provides for us so abundantly, not just to meet our needs, but over and above our needs in 10,000 ways, day by day. Let us be thankful people. I'm thankful to you. thankful that you listened to Integrated and that we get to spend time together thinking about God's Word. I hope you're subscribed, and I hope that you're able to tell a friend, maybe somebody at church, hey, have you checked out Integrated? Have you checked out Fortis Plus and some of the other podcasts that Fortis Plus has as well? Hopefully, they'll be a great blessing to you and your Christian life. Now, go do God's Word.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Kreutz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Kreutz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.